And God always has someone, again, I'll say, like our George Thorne, great big bundle of love, scratching his own chin, to get up there and sit there and let Ray know he's not alone going through anything that he's going through. And now George Thorne is going to come and share some of his thoughts with us. And let's give him a great big load of love right now.
Everybody loves George.
Didn't have to put so much emphasis on great big, though. And I learned more about Ray in certain areas of his body than I really wanted to know. Let me tell you.
Maybe it's good we work there, huh?
You can count on it. But he's my brother, and I love him dearly. Some of you know, and I think many of you do, I was in the advertising business for a lot of years. And I was what was called the creative director. And the creative director is the one that creates all the commercials on TV that everybody likes to turn off, that y'all like to turn off during the television shows. But did you know that some people in advertising, or it's been said about people in advertising, that every once in a while they have a tendency to exaggerate? New, improved, nothing like it on earth, better than ever, and then you learn it's an ointment for removing bunions. But I'm feeling my advertising chops here tonight, so I want to talk to you, share a thought with you that I think is a lot more important. I want to share with you an idea that I believe is so big and important that if everyone would do it, it would change the world. And I don't think I'm overstating the importance one bit. If this were to happen, there would be less alcoholism, drug addiction, crime, mental illness, anger, hate, rage. People would be in much better health. There'd be much less disease. Much of the yelling, bullying, and fighting would disappear. There would be far less blame, civil unrest, war, and violence in the world. Prisons and jails would empty. The homeless would disappear off of our streets. Children would love their parents and vice versa. And we would all love and share with one another. Well, George, you might say, you're in church, so you're going to say it's going to be about if everyone knew about God. That is the answer, and I'd have to say, no, this is not enough. I would because the 19 men who hijacked American airplanes and blew up the World Trade Center believed in God. They even said that was their belief in God that led them to do it. Now, too many wars have been fought over religion. And everyone thinks they are right based on their own views. Everyone always seems to think that God is only on their side. One of the greatest boxers of the last century, some say the greatest middleweight of them all, Sugar Ray Robinson, was asked if he ever prayed to God to win before a fight. And he quietly replied, "No, I never do. What would happen if my opponent was also praying to God? What's God supposed to do?" No, knowing that God, there is God is not enough, and here's why. For many, if not most of us, God is up there in the sky. He's up there handing out blessings and wrath if we do something right or wrong. No, there's something else involved here, something that a lot more of us have to realize. It is something that I personally work on every day. It is very simple and profound and very sacred. It's not new and improved. It's as old as time. What is it? We, everyone on earth, have to come to know, feel, and own that we are a part of God and that God is part of us. And that if God is good, whole, and complete, then so are we. Do you believe that you are part of God? Do you believe that God is in you? Or when you pray to God, do you kind of look upstairs and pray God is going to think you are good enough and worthy enough to accept your request down here? What if you are good enough, but you don't think you are? What if you don't really think you are a very good person and don't believe in yourself? Will God still honor your request? Isn't the law of attraction and manifesting supposed to be about giving you what you are thinking and feeling here? Why do you think Millie is always telling us, watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your actions? Because all of our words, thoughts, and actions are really prayers. Every one of them, because they are energy, just like we are. God is. We are all part of the same energy. I believe that the biggest problem in the world is that most of us believe deeply that we are only human. There's even an old saying that goes along with that, I am only human. And think about it, we always say this to ourselves when we mess up. The very condition of being human implies that we are not good enough. Most of us don't see ourselves as spiritual beings on a human journey, but at best as human beings on a spiritual journey. And human beings, we almost always don't believe we are good enough, capable enough, or worldly enough, or worthy enough. As a result, we are lacking in self-love because as humans, we judge ourselves by other humans around us and by what other humans have done to us. What it too often ends up being is we're only focusing on material things. How we look, how much money we have, how big our house is, how successful our relationships are with any other person, who after we get to know the person and the infatuation passes, we come to think that they're not so worthy either because we can only see them in what we see in ourselves. God created the sun, the moon, the stars, all the galaxies in the heaven, the universe, the animals, the oceans, seas, and mountains, the air we breathe, the water we drink. But somehow we think, as humans, we are separate from all of this because we think God is up there and we are down here. Millie always says we are bubbles of God. I used to think, yes, that sounds nice. And for the longest time, I thought, there goes Millie again. Everything she says is about making us feel good. But now I know that she knows that she knows that she knows. But what exactly does it mean in our daily lives to be part of God? We all believe God is wonderful, perfect, and magnificent. And the brochure of this church says Spirit is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, meaning Spirit is invincible everywhere. Sees and knows all of the time. I believe this church is a testament to the fact that we are all part of Spirit. We see it everywhere. When we talk to the angels in our classes, when we give messages, when we are behind the healing stools or on them, these are sacred moments. If you listen to radio or watch TV, you know that it takes a transmitter and a receiver. It takes two. How could we possibly give messages, healings, and talk with the angels unless we too are a real part of this great creation and on the very same frequency? We are all one. Besides, like attracts like. That is why you are all attracted to God. If you question whether God is in you, I want you to think about a song we sing in Tuesday and Thursday night classes, which Millie always brings up at sacred moments. I believe most of you have heard and sung it before. We sang it last night. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Please listen again to these words. Breathe in what they really mean. I feel the love of God in you. The light of Christ comes shining through. I am blessed to be with you, O holy child of God. Now listen to the words of Jesus in the Bible from the book of John. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. For a moment, I'm going to ask you to think of everything that is God or Spirit as a big glass of water. See the glass of water in your mind. The water represents the planets, galaxies, stars, sun, earth, the heavens, oceans and rivers, the universe and universes, and infinity. Are we not part of that glass of water? Even if each of us is only a molecule, how can we be outside of God if God is everything? Don't you think we share the same characteristics, the same mind, the same love? We are part of God. God is part of us. We are meant to be greater than we think we are. We are greater than we think we are. If God is love, we are love. If God is joy and peace, then we are joy and peace. If God is divine intelligence and creative, then we are intelligent and creative. Our only problem is we don't know it or we don't remember it. Want more proof? I think each of us here believes we have a soul. Would y'all agree? Yeah? Well, if we do, what is our soul other than pure evidence that Spirit lives on in each of us? I read something very beautiful recently. The Bible said we created God in His, God created us in His image. That doesn't mean that God looks like us, just the opposite. It means that we have more of the qualities just like God, the greatness and the love. While we are on this subject, I do believe that there is going to be a second coming of Christ. But I think it is about each of us coming to the realization that we have Christ consciousness in us. I would also definitely, this is the marketer in me, give Christmas and our culture a makeover. I would make Christmas Day everyone's birthday, celebrating the Christ consciousness in each one of us in the world. If I may, I'd like to tell you the story of two young men, one of whom I barely know and the other one whom I know very well, but both of whom have helped me to understand what this all means. The first one I met just a few weeks ago. I went into Burger King to get a glass of iced tea. A nice-looking young Hispanic man, about 18 or 19, behind the counter said, "Good morning, sir. How can I help you? How are you doing today?" I said, "Great. How are you doing?" He looked up at me, smiled, and said, "I am blessed." And I just stood there, stunned. The tag on his shirt said his name was Jeremiah. Here's young Jeremiah schlepping burgers in a hot kitchen for minimum wage at Burger King, and he feels blessed. I could tell from the expression on his face that he was in a state of grace. He believed what he was saying with every ounce of his being. He knew deep in his heart, whether or not he ever thought about it consciously, that he was part of God and that God was part of him. But Jeremiah wasn't done with me yet. He handed me my iced tea, took my money, and said, "Have a great day." I replied, "You have a great day too." Then he replied, "I will, everyone I get." I will tell you, I've met a lot of people in my life, billionaires, scientists, any number, hundreds of heads of companies all over America, even a U.S. president. But among them all, Jeremiah, serving burgers and fries at Burger King, stands out in the crowd. He has discovered the meaning of life at 19. He knows what it means to be successful on earth. The other young man's life took a far different turn. He was raised in a home where there was severe abuse. By the time he was Jeremiah's age, he was drinking several times a week, smoking a couple of packs of cigarettes a day, and living quite a different life. At the time, he didn't believe in God. Matter of fact, he really believed he knew there was no God. How could there be? Life was so horrific. Ironically, he couldn't begin to accept the beauty of spirit, which was exactly what he needed the most because he was in pain. He was unconsciously hiding behind the alcohol and his lifestyle so that he wouldn't have to face it. If you'd ask him in the daytime if he's happy, he'd say no. If you'd ask him at nighttime after a few drinks, he would tell you yes. After years of this, the alcohol wasn't enough, so he experimented with drugs as well, anything to stop the hurt. Because this young man worked hard, however, he put aside how he felt and became successful in his work. He found something else to hide behind so he wouldn't have to face who he was. He was owner in a successful company, drove a big car, had nice clothes, and a nice house with a pool. Only problem, though, he was miserable because he thought this was all there was. It all came to a screeching halt later in his life when he quit drinking and smoking. Then, with nothing left to hide behind, he was hit with the fact in his 40s that he had been severely abused as a child. The pain that came out was unbelievable. This boy, now a man, walked through his own hell. Hour after hour, day after day, year after year, he could barely think or speak. It was almost impossible for him to work. For years, he took doses of antidepressants so heavy it kept him in a stupor, but the pain still didn't go away. As many of you know, I was that boy, and I am that man. And thank God, and I do mean that, I had people along the way to help me. And boy, did they help me. My family, my friend Ray, who helped work with me for 2 years and helped me through my hell. And this church, especially the classes that I've attended for 5 years, my dear, dear Millie, whom I love with all my heart, have all helped me to heal. Now, many of you have heard this story before, and I must tell you that it's not easy to talk about. Matter of fact, it's a little embarrassing. But I tell it, and I will continue to tell it for two reasons. One is, It is worth it if one person can find solace in what I've gone through and know if I can go through it and find something better on the other side, they can too. The other is, I want you all to know that today, and I really want you to hear me, I feel very blessed, happier than I've ever been in my life. Here is why. I know God is in me. I feel the love of God in me more and more. I feel the love of God in each of you, in nature, in this church, everywhere. I also know now that I am part of God and God is part of me. And that makes me happy. I have more joy and peace in my life than I have ever known. Let me put it this way. To discover that God in me, as I am in God, is as life-changing as discovering that there is a God at all. Today, I not only believe in God, I believe all of my thoughts originate from God, that God and I think together. Sometimes these thoughts don't look so good when they creep through the filters of my ego, but in the beginning, they start off pure. Today, I also know that I had to endure all of this for a reason. Now I know it was all a divine experience. I had to go through it all to discover God, and importantly, so I could develop the tools to help others. I'm proud to say that I'm now working as a spiritual life coach, helping others to find the goodness, the God in them. And I'm proud to say that all of my clients are. Some slowly at first, but when they get the idea, they begin to soar. When they begin to discover God, good, is in each of us. It's the most important idea that I can ever share with you if you want to live a blessed life like Jeremiah and me. In closing, I'd like to share a poem from a book, A Hidden Wholeness, which was given to me by a close friend when I really needed to hear these words. It goes like this. The time will come with elation. You will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror. And each smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to yourself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life. So to each of you I say, feast on your life, knowing that God is alive within you, and all that is good and great about God is good and great in you. God bless each of you, and thank you very much.